is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
They are stumbling others because they keep laying all these rules so that people who do want to go to heaven, do want to honor God, cannot honor God because they keep throwing so much on them. And three, people who try to watch them and learn from them, he says, well, we'll see, they become twice the son of hell as them. They're more than lost. It'd be like you or me trying, looking up to someone and saying, wow, this is a godly man or this is a godly woman. I want to emulate them. I want to be like them. Only you get close to them and you find out, whoa, they're not at all what they look like.
In today's message, Pastor Troy teaches us the importance of a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Our religions, rituals, routines, and affiliations mean nothing in the sight of God. We need the truth of the Bible in our lives, and it will be evident in our life when we are walking closely with the Lord. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 39. I'm covering a lot of ground, and mostly because I did not want to have 2 weeks of woe messages. So we're going to try to get, although, to be honest with you, it doesn't get a whole lot better after this. Jesus is getting really, really direct with the Pharisees, with those who are listening, even with his disciples, as we'll find out next week. Jesus is just in this, I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to be gone, and I want to let it all out. And I want you to know the truth. And so he has been talking to those who were asking questions. He talked to the religious leaders and answered questions for them. He talked about the religious leaders and said, don't be like them. And today he turns from that conversation to talking to them directly. And he doesn't soften the message. In fact, it's very pointed, very direct. Several times he says, woe to you. That's not good. Woe to you and hypocrites, talking to those who think they're living out the faith, but are not. What is a hypocrite? The Greek word here is a word that is used to describe an actor. In the old theater, they didn't have what we have today in television and even in our theater now. They had basically just masks that they would carry, and you knew they were the evil guy when they had one mask, and when they had the happy mask, they would have that one, and that was basically the theater. And this word hypocrite is a word that describes that kind of an actor, one who puts on a mask. A hypocrite is one who deliberately and as a habit professes to be one thing, usually good, but isn't. Or specifically, he knows he isn't, and yet he puts on a face or puts on a front like he is. Hypocrites, true, authentic hypocrites, they have learned the art of lying to themselves. They deceive themselves, thinking that they're actually more than they are. It's those who get involved in some kind of religious system or make life some kind of religious system. Those are the ones that often become the biggest hypocrites because they use their standards and their religious system to justify themselves and to show how righteous they are. All the while, they're not. It's because religion and religious things clean up the outside. dress this way, look this way, be on time. You know, the externals, they focus on the externals. Put on your best foot. You got to act a certain way. And it never addresses the heart. It only addresses the activity, the action, the outward. And that's what the Pharisees were all about. It'd be like me telling my kids, when we get to church, behave. I'm the pastor, so do this and be that way. And you say, yes, sir. And I tell them what they need to do, but the heart is never really addressed. That's all ritual. It's telling them how to do things, but it's not really ministering to the heart. And a hypocrite is one who has learned to do things outwardly, but they have not let anything change their heart. And it's a system that helps them to look good or to look righteous. Your system could be going to church 2 times a week. We could say, oh, they're awesome. Hey, can you give me a reference? Well, they're here 2 times a week. They must be awesome. We don't know that. Or you get your system of saying certain prayers 5 times a day and it looks very, very righteous. But it never really means that you have something in your heart. Today, Jesus has some words for hypocrites, specifically the religious leaders in Israel, and they're not flattering words. They're not nice words. They're very direct words. They're not going to make Jesus any friends. But you know what I like about Jesus? He wasn't here to make friends. If Jesus had a church, he wouldn't soften the message for the sake of growth. We just want more people in. He didn't care about more people in. He cared about souls. He doesn't care that you go to church. He wants to know you know the truth. Because that truth is the only thing that guides you in life, in the way of righteousness, in the way of pleasing God, in the way of things eternal. And it doesn't matter how good you feel, how okay you feel with everything else, and how comfortable you feel. If you don't have the truth, you don't have anything. And that's why Jesus is so hard on these guys. Because he knows a couple of things about their hypocrisy. One, they're fooling themselves. They can't even get to heaven. Two, they are stumbling others because they keep laying all these rules so that people who do want to go to heaven, do want to honor God, cannot honor God because they keep throwing so much on them. And three, people who try to watch them and learn from them, he says, well, we'll see, they become twice the son of hell as them. They're more than lost. It'd be like you or me trying, looking up to someone and saying, wow, this is a godly man or this is a godly woman. I want to emulate them. I want to be like them. Only you get close to them and you find out, whoa, they're not at all what they look like from the outside. So what happens to that person is they start to think, well, maybe this is the way everyone is. Maybe this is the church. Maybe this is what it's all about. And it stumbles you. So that your religion looks just like that, hypocritical. Or you just said, bad taste, I don't need church, they're all hypocrites. Sadly, so many leave the church or don't feel like they can go to church and look at that religious leader, that speaker, because of so much hypocrisy. But let that not be said of us. And Jesus, he doesn't care for hypocrites. So, after answering many questions meant to stumble Jesus, Jesus now gets very direct with these hypocrites, pulling off their masks, so to speak, in verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Now you have to get the transition here. He's been talking about them. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like them. And now he turns to but woe to you, Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers. For the sake of appearances, that's what that means. You make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Did you catch this? I think the big news here is Jesus said, you're not going to heaven. I think that would have been the most concerning thing for me. Probably was the thing that frustrated them the most, because they thought, we're the religious leaders. We tell people what they need to do. We're the most righteous. The problem is their righteousness was all in ritual. And Jesus exposes that here in a moment, talking about your heart. Your heart's untouched. You don't care about people. You just care about the rituals. So he says, you're not going to heaven. That's an ouch. But not only that, you make it difficult for those who want to. That's what he means. You slam the door on those who want to. Throwing heavy burdens, extra rules, like someone who wants to come forward and give their life to Christ and to follow him. And all of a sudden, well, you need to shave and you need to do this and you need this and you need to follow that and you need to be on time. And you need to... Goodness. Some are just so like that. How about saying, you know what? Start listening to the Lord. And you need to trust the Lord. And you need to follow him. You need to get in your word, because you can't just create what the Lord wants for you. You actually need to know the Bible. And so let him speak to your heart. Because all that is too much. I remember sitting and I was going to give my life to the Lord. And one of the things that I thought was, I got to stop this. I got to change this. I got to stop. Now, the pastor wasn't saying that to me. I was thinking about that because there were so many things I was doing wrong. So it was in there. But the Lord was just like, you know what? Trust me. I'm good. Don't worry about all that you think you got to try to do perfectly right now. It's too much for you. Just do what I ask you. On that day, the second week actually, it was just to come forward and to publicly surrender my life, say, I will follow you. And then he led me step by step. And so we ought to remember that God is the one who leads step by step. That we should encourage people in their growth and help them and point the way. But don't bring the law, the 15 years of walking with the Lord that you now have, and throw it upon them. But encourage them in their walk. The Pharisees, law after law after law after law. He said, they can't even come to me because of you. They don't want to come to me because of you. But not only that, not only does he make it difficult by slamming the door in their face, those who want to come, not only that, but those who you take under your wing. You take them under your wing and they can't get to me. They're twice as lost as you because they're watching you. And you're doing it wrong. It's got to be hard to hear something like this. Though you want to be used to bring people to faith, and I'm sure that's what they wanted. Maybe actually they just wanted increased numbers. But in there were some, I'm sure, who wanted to bring people to the Lord, to have some sense of value. But he says, you can't. You want to bring people to faith, but your doctrine and your life will not allow it. Because people are watching you, and watching you stumbles them. It's got to be hard to hear that. But that is the case for the hypocrite. People will not come to faith. People will not want your Jesus. People will not want what you have if you tell them about the God who loves them and they need to surrender their life to him, and they get close to you and they sense absolutely none of that love. Just hypocrisy, just criticism. So, this is the first thing Jesus pours out. Jesus is just getting started. Verse 16, woe to you blind guides who say whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. They had gotten into what everybody had gotten into, and that is the I promise. I promise on my mother's grave. I promise on the altar. I promise on the gold, on the temple. And so the more they wanted you to understand they meant it, the more they brought into the equation, I promise on this. Even the religious leaders had gotten into that. Their word wasn't their word. They had to make a promise and say, I swear. So if they wanted you to really understand that they meant what they were saying and they wanted to really obligate themselves, they would one up. Rather than just saying, I swear by the temple, which should have been more than enough, because God doesn't even want you to swear by the temple, as we see. But they would say, I swear by the gold on the temple. One guy, I swear by the temple. Well, I swear by the gold on the temple. And then the altar, I swear by the altar. Well, I swear by the sacrifice on the altar. But Jesus is saying, in all of the swearing and all of the promising, you're missing something. You're missing the fact that God is to be in the equation. That God sees. No matter what promise you make, using what instrument, it's God who hears your words and to God who you are accountable. Early on in Jesus' ministry, at the Sermon on the Mount, way back when he gave that first early sermon in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus taught the crowds, saying, don't swear by anything, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Now, in pointing out the fact that they swear by these things, Jesus is also revealing their sense of priorities. They say the gold on the temple is apparently of more value or carries more weight than the temple itself. Or they say that the gift on the altar obviously is more important, more significant than the altar itself. But Jesus is saying you guys have the wrong set of standards. He says the temple is established by God. And it's the temple that sanctifies the gold, not the other way around. The gold makes beauty, but it's the temple that we had in the wilderness. It's the temple. That's important. And then the gift. You guys are so thrilled with the gift that's being offered. He said, no, it's about the altar. Because if that gift isn't brought to the altar, that gift is meaningless. You can't just offer your gift wherever and however you want to. The gift is meaningless unless you do it on the altar. You bring it to that altar of sacrifice. But then he brings it all down, boils it down, reduces it to its minimum. And he says, but really it all points back to God. You make good on your word. You keep your promises because your word should be your word and God hears your word. When you make vows or take vows, for instance, the wedding vow, it's not just these witnesses that you make that vow for. It's God. He's the one who honors vows. He's the one in whose sight it says that where two are joined together, they're no longer one, or they're no longer two, but they're one. So all the promises we make, they're before the Lord. Whether it's to commit to do something at a certain time, you're an employer and you say, I will be here and I will do this at a certain time, then all the excuses in the world don't matter. You need to do what you've said to do. Things come up, but it shouldn't be the habit of your life that you can never keep your word. Your yes needs to be your yes, and your no, no. We need to be careful with our words, especially our promises. That's the biggest hazard of this job, is that I say a lot of words, and not just here. I say tons of words outside of here, because everyone asks me stuff. Everyone wants answers. Everyone wants clarification. Everyone wants direction. I say more words than I really care to say. We need to be careful with our words, especially our promises. It doesn't mean don't make promises or say that you won't do things. But when you say you're going to do them, do them. Even if you didn't swear by the gold on the temple, let your yes be yes and your no, no. I made a promise to God, actually, in basic training. First 10, 15 minutes, I was already threatened with being recycled or put in jail. You know, made a guide on, you know, to carry a stick with a flag. And, you know, all that in the first like 15, 20 minutes. He already drugged me around almost like I had a leash, but it was my shirt, you know. So that's 15 minutes. And so I'm thinking, God, if you're getting me through this. And my promise to him was, I will go to church. That was all the promise was. I'll go to church. Well, it was about basic training, 6 weeks, another few months for tech school. So maybe about 6 months, we'll say. Half a year. Another half year later, I get to my station. And I'm in the billeting. I haven't got my dorm yet, so I'm in the billeting, which is like the hotel on base. And I go and I walk by, and what do I cross by? This is 6 months after this, just quick, I'll go to church, Lord, if you get me through this. Never thought about it. Didn't write it down as, well, I better keep that promise. Just threw it out there. You know, help me, please. And as I go by the base chapel, I just happen to go by the base chapel. Of the whole base, this whole brand new base, I'm at billeting, and I just happen to walk by the church on base. And as I do, it's like the Lord says, you said you'd go to church if I got you through basic training, and I got you through more than that. And I thought, wow, you sure did. And he reminded me of that. Now, it wasn't until some time later, years later actually, before I would go in and finally give my life to the Lord. But I will tell you, God takes your word seriously. I made a promise just to go to church, and look what that got me. God takes our word seriously. He takes our word to him, and he takes our word to others seriously. And we need to be careful. The religious leaders did not take their promises or their words as seriously as they should have. They were always looking for a loophole. They were very hypocritical. Words went one direction, actions went a different direction. And because of that, Jesus calls them blind guides. People can't get to me from you because you're leading them. You're blind and you're misleading them with all that you say and you don't do. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with children who grow up in Christian or, let's say, church-going homes. People who say, I'm a believer. The kids grow up and they watch the believer not believe, cuss, get on them, do all the things the world does, not do anything admirable, noble, or that says, I depend on and I trust the Lord. And they go, well, if that's the church, I don't need it. And they're blind guides. Jesus is not happy with blind guides. And there's more. He's not done yet. Verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He's not saying that it's not good that you get so scrupulous in your tithe. He's saying, no, you should have done that. That's good. But the weightier matters you overlook, thinking you're okay with all the details.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.